Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
A couple years ago, and actually in 2011, I first came up to Potsdam and to serve as an intern. I started on January 15th, so exactly 6 years ago. Goes by quick. But I remember coming up here, and I never really learned the art of cooking much at all. And so I was kind of living off of Campbell's soup and, you know, trying to do anything that you didn't really have to prep much for. And I was living on Minor Street, and my roommate, Brian Roscoe, he was there with me. And I was getting, like, hungry. I'm like, this stuff is not satisfying. I need to learn how to prepare something a little bit more. Thankfully, a lot of people were reaching out to me, giving me food. They're like, oh, that poor skinny intern. Obviously, they did a good job getting rid of the skinny part. But I remember one person, Karen Stauffer, I think they took a whole cow and put it into a lasagna. And I was like, I heard of lasagna, but this is like a steak lasagna or something. I'm like, I'm liking it up in this place. And I remember eating that breakfast, lunch, and dinner. But then I'm like, I want to move on. So like, I want to learn how to cook. And like, just to show you where I came and from, this is not a joke, this is like my story. I went to my roommate, Brian, and I'm like, Brian, I want to make pasta, but I'm kind of unsure about how to boil water. And he looks at me like, seriously? I'm like, yeah, I got some water and like a container, Tupperware, skillet, something like that. And he's like, dude, just heat it up, put it in there and see what happens. I was like, okay. I was like, I don't know a lot about cooking. Well, later on, you know, as it is, when you know nothing about something, you're a lot more open to input. But when you start to learn a little bit, you can kind of get cocky. I remember when I got married, and after I came home from the honeymoon, I wanted to impress my wife, Crystal, by making pancakes from scratch. You know, not from the box, because I thought that was hard enough. I was like, I'll go a little bit harder and make it from scratch. So I took what I thought was flour, and my wife is like, Jim, honey, I think that's confectionery sugar. I'm like, blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, did you not see what I could do with boiling hot water successfully time after time? Barely burnt any of those pans. And I was like, okay. So I'm not really listening to Crystal. I'm doing my own thing. And I just put 2 cups of confectionery sugar with a cup of sugar on it, some vanilla syrup in it. And if you know, like, this combo, I put it on, like, the stove and the skillet, turned it on, and it made, like, this napalm, like, bubbly hot sugar that soon just overflowed out of the skillet onto the stove, onto the ground. If you try to touch it, it just, like, stick to you and burned you. And so Crystal just stood there smiling. And I'm just like, oh, man. I was like, you got some humble pie. But that still didn't satisfy my hunger that morning or it helped me with my pride. But sometimes we can be doing life and our preparation isn't quite where it needs to be. And sometimes there's an ingredient that's off. And this morning I want to talk about preparing our hearts and inviting God to really look into our hearts this morning. To be open for input. I wasn't open with my wife, Crystal. I'm learning how to do that more. But sometimes we're just like, no, God, I know what's best for my life. I know the right ingredients. I don't want your input. But as we look at the Bible, there's some really good input that I'm believing this morning that God wants to give us through his Holy Spirit. Up here, I should have a PowerPoint that I want to just look at. So this morning, we'll look at preparing our hearts. And I just want to give you a little snapshot of the next 3 weeks. So we're preparing our hearts right here. The purpose of this is really for 2017, get into the place of listening to the Holy Spirit. God, what are the things you want to address, point out in my life that you want to take away, or things I should be doing even more? So we're going to be looking at that this morning. Next week, I'll be talking about prayer and fasting, some practical examples, and what is fasting, what does it look like, some testimonies of fasting, just the power of prayer. And then we're going into a week of prayer, which I'll talk about this more next week. January 23rd to 27th. Do want to make mention that on the 26th, which is a Thursday, the pastors, we're inviting the church, all of you, to come for a night of prayer from 7 to 8. And then we're really believing that God's going to do some incredible stuff in your life, in our life, and that we'll have an opportunity to share what God's been doing, and I'll be sharing a little bit more about vision for 2017. So I'm really excited to see what God will be doing in our lives. When you get close to God and let him work in your life, he can do amazing things, things that are even beyond what we can believe or imagine. A verse I want to open with, and we'll be looking at our main text in Hebrews this morning, is from Psalm 139. Well-known verse, or two verses, but I'm going to open and close with these verses because we're going to have a response time, and I'll explain more about that at the end. But I'm going to read these verses. It says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that confectionery sugar that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. And sometimes we know there's things off in our life, and we're just ignoring it. But sometimes you hang out with God, and you realize, you know, Lord, I didn't realize I had these issues in my life, and I want to give them to you. And we'll talk more about that in a moment. In the month of March, it looks like we'll be having a rummage sale, which is really exciting. So my wife, Crystal, and I, we've been working on just going through our cupboards and just getting stuff that's like worthless, or sometimes we find new stuff. I don't know if you've ever done this before. You're like cleaning through, and you're like, why do we have all this junk? It's like we've only been like married for a couple of years. Like, how do we collect all this? Or sometimes we find brand new things that we're about to buy that's been sitting there. I'm like, I'm saving money for something that's in a cupboard. I'm like, man, I am like the richest man who lost all his possessions. So sometimes you're doing that. But when we're doing that spiritual kind of soul cleansing and cleaning, it's great to do some inventory of the heart. And I was just thinking about this. I thought about Hebrews chapter 13. You can turn there in your Bible or turn on your Bible and find it even faster. We'll be looking at verses 1 to 16. And as I was reading this this week, I just felt like, man, I know this is written a long time ago to an audience of Jewish believers, but I'm like, you could have just written this in 2017. It starts off with some things to do and not to do, and it looks at a reminder of the sacrifice of Jesus. And so we're gonna briefly be looking over that this morning. That's in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 to 16. We'll also have it up here on the screen. So let's go check it out this morning together. And if you can just advance to the next slide, that would be great. For Hebrews chapter 13, starting in verse 1, it says, "Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. Keep your life free from the love of money, and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods which have not benefited those who devoted to them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tent have no right to eat, for the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy place by the high priest as a sacrifice for sin are burned outside the camp. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God." Let's take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you that speaks life today, Lord. And God, I just pray for open hearts this morning to hear from you. Holy Spirit, would you come and fill this place? Guide us, Lord. God, maybe we'd be open to your input if there's things that need some course correction, some complete removal, some things we need to start doing again. God, we just pray that we would look more and more like your son, Jesus. In your name, amen. So we're going to look at three different things this morning, breaking down this passage a little bit and preparing our hearts. I want to talk about hearts in three different ways. The first one I want to talk about is a devoted heart, or sometimes you can get a divided heart, in verses 1 to 6. Here's a couple things that the author of Hebrews is writing to the Jewish Christians and the believers, of things to do and not to do. One of them is, right off the bat in verse 1, is let brotherly love continue. The Greek word for brotherly love is Philadelphia. And in this, the city of Philadelphia is the city of brotherly love. This is one of the most important things as Christians gathering, that this kind of love, this family kind of love, would be present in the gatherings. John Calvin once said, if Christians gather and brotherly love is not present, then Christians are not gathering. This is a key mark. It's like a cultural signifying presence of the Holy Spirit amongst this kind of love being shared. the writer's saying, continue in this. And as a church, we want to continue in this as well and grow in sharing brotherly love with one another, not our favorites, not our best friends, but every single person in the body of Christ. And continues to say, show hospitality to others. And it goes on. If you're reading the Bible, I don't know if you're ever reading the Bible, sometimes you read that and you're like, whoa, that's so cool. Because some of them have entertained angels unaware, which I was just like, wow, that's straight in the Bible. And made me think of Abraham and Lot in the Old Testament who received messengers of God and actually entertained angels. They were hospitable to God's messengers. But the idea of just growing in hospitality, which maybe you don't really think about that. I don't usually think about that when it's like, oh, growing towards maturity in Christ. Hey, growing in hospitality. How can I be open to strangers or visitors or maybe just international students are coming into the area and the colleges? Lord, how can I be hospitable to others who are coming in our gathering? Wanting to be served and not just to be served, but to serve others. The author continues saying that there's a need, and especially in the context of Christians being in prison and mistreated, but there should be intentional caring for those in prison and who are mistreated. Sometimes those who are in a difficult spot or those literally in prison can easily be put out of mind, out of thought. But the reminder is, hey, here's a practical thing. If you know some people in prison, care for them, reach out to them. Those who are being mistreated, don't forget about those who are in need. Remember that you are the body of Christ. I was thinking that when you have an actual body, and if I was using a hammer and I hit my hand and it was throbbing, which my hammer skills are about as good as my cooking skills, so that probably would happen. If it's throbbing, I want to just be like, oh, poor little hand. You just need to, you know, figure it out somehow, put you over here for a little bit and walk around. Yeah, I'm doing great. And this thing just swelling up. We'll go to the ER later. I don't know why I talk to my hand, but it works for this. And so I'm just looking at it. No, I would be like, oh, my God. Goodness, this hurts so bad. Attention would go there. And I think the body of Christ, if those are hurting, it's not like, oh, I hope you can make it on your own, but how can we gather together in an intentional way of being like, we're the body of Christ, we're one body. How can we extend that brotherly love and care and concern? The author continues, and I think even in this culture today, when I was reading this message, if you've ever been in a canoe or a kayak and you're on a lake and there's some waves on the ocean and the waves are coming, if you do nothing, you can kind of just roll with the waves and get pushed in a certain direction. But I feel like this kind of message is like taking a kayak or a boat or canoe and just pointing it into the waves and literally going against the flow. Because I believe there's a culture flow that literally is going against everything I'm about to say. It talks about honoring marriage and having that as part of something that's highly done among the brothers and sisters in Christ. And in our culture, the marriage is being redefined in different ways. But if you look at the biblical context, marriage is between a man and a woman, and it's something beautiful that God designed. It wasn't just some like afterthought, but something that was beautiful. And saying, hey, let's honor marriage. Let's remember that it's between a man and a woman, and remember that it's something beautiful. It's actually a symbolic imagery of God's love for the church, that he would be the bridegroom, and the church is us, we are the bride. So it says, honor God, honor marriage before God. And then it goes on saying, keeping the marriage bed undefiled, which is just a way of saying keeping the sexual relationship within the marriage something pure, something beautiful, something holy. God designed sex. It's not like something that was designed by Hollywood. It was something that God designed to be enjoyed in the context of marriage. And saying, honoring God with our bodies in the marriage bed for those who are married. That's the place to do that. And this in the culture, this is like, I'm like, man, if you go listen to the news, you go watch movies, this is the exact opposite of what you'll be heard. But if you believe that God is true, that his word is true, then it comes down to, Lord, would you be informing my heart on what I might need to change, on things I need to get right? It says also to honor God with our bodies in reference to sex. If that's the context for sexual relationships between a man and a woman in a marriage context, anything outside of that would be sexually immoral. Or the Bible says fornicators, and that God is the one who will judge those who stay in those places. The Bible calls that sin. And once again, our culture will say, just do whatever you want with whoever you want. And God says that's not the case. I have a specific design. And if you really believe that, God, I want to make you Lord and follow after you, I would encourage you to have some openness, especially if you're struggling with this. It's just like, I want to do whatever I want. Be open to the Holy Spirit this morning. Be like, God, what's your perspective? What might your word be showing me in some practical ways? Maybe I need to put in check the way I'm using my body. The author continues, moves on from marriage, honoring it in the marriage bed, and then also honoring God with our bodies in the reference to sexuality. Moves on to money. It says, keeping your life free from the love of money and be content. It's possible to have lots of money and be very, very discontent. But the author is saying, keep your life free from the love of money. Instead of having a love of money, it's have a love for Jesus. Jesus even said, you can't serve two masters. You'll love one and hate the other. You can't serve both money and God. And if there's a love for money, and that's like, that's my provider, that's my goal, that's my purpose, and it's not God's my provider, he's my goal, he's my purpose, you're really having a divided heart. And really, you can't do both at the same time. And that's such a big draw. There's a big draw on sexuality in our culture. There's a huge draw for just love money and pursue that at all costs. But Jesus is like, pursue me at all costs. And he has these awesome, these words in here by this author of Hebrews. It's just great. I'm actually going to bring them up in verses 5 to 6. I love some of the promises in here. So it's keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, this is God, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Isn't that a wonderful promise? God's like, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You have that job, I am with you. You have the financial resources, I'm there. You lose that job, you don't have the I am there with you. Money is not your God. Jesus Christ is your Lord, and he is your Savior. And he will never leave you nor forsake you. The author builds on this, though. He doesn't just stay there. He continues. So we can confidently say we have a God that is always with us, which is awesome. But one that is also, which is crazy, because think about this. This is the Lord. This is also the same person that created the universe, planets, stars. It says, the Lord is my helper. Wow. You design, you breathe out stars and galaxies. And here it's saying, the Lord is my helper, an ever-present helper, a powerful helper, a loving father kind of helper. When I was thinking of helper, I was thinking about 4 or 5 years ago. We were in a vacation Bible school. I needed some type of metal frame or something. And so I had no clue what to do with that. So I talked to Mark Helbel. I'm like, Mark, can you get me like some type of frame? And so he like forged a steel frame with his bare hands. And no, I'm just kidding. I'm pretty sure he used the machine, but I actually didn't see him use it. So I could speculate. Maybe it was with his hands. But he brought it in. And this thing was this tough, and I could put a banner there, and the banner probably could get ripped, but this frame wasn't moving anywhere. Mark's such a good welder. And I remember I was like, I need help to put it in the ground. And so we were putting out right by our sign out front, and he had this big sledgehammer, and I was just looking at him, you know, holding this like metal frame and the sledgehammer. I'm just like walking along doing nothing, but just like, wow, he's doing all the work. And then I noticed, I'm like, God, I'm like, did you mess up the design on Mark when you made him? I just have real conversations with the Lord. I'm like, it seems like all his calf muscles went to his biceps and triceps. I'm like, I don't know, but I'm like, well, maybe it's proportionally right. I'm like, this guy is huge. And so we get up there, and like, if you don't know Mark, he's just a tank. So we get up there, and he's like, 1-2 shots with the sledge. He's like, I'll do this side, and he's like, you can do the other side. It's like, dish, dish, and then he's having a conversation. I'm over there with the sledgehammer. Once again, this is like my cooking skills. I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm going to be back here tomorrow, Mark. You just go home for dinner, because, you know, we're going to be a little bit, you know, hitting mostly my hand, and I made a bunch of divots in the ground. But eventually, we had the sign, and it looked like that. But Mark was just, he's a powerful helper. I was like, I'm a very visual person. I'm like, man, if I was in some alley in Potsdam, there's not that many, but if I could find one, it was dark, and somebody's like, you want a mess? I'm like, I don't want a mess. I'd be like, hey, this is my friend Mark. Let me introduce you. I'm like, I don't got to worry. Now, if Mark was with me 24-7, that would just be really awkward, and we even need a conversation. My analogy breaks down here. But there is a God who is strong. He is powerful. He is ever-present. He will be with you in the good times, the mountaintop experiences, the valleys. There is a God that says, I will be your helper. The things I want you to do and pursue me over money, I got you. Because of that, you don't have to fear. The creator of the universe literally wants to be your helper in the things that he's calling you to do. You don't have to fear, because what can man do to me? Isn't that a wonderful promise? I'm just like, come on, get pumped up. All right, God, calling me to do crazy stuff for you. I don't got to worry about it. You're with me. You got this. Trust in the Lord. Let's move on to the next part. So we have a devoted heart. We don't want to have a divided heart, a devoted heart. God, I'm taking your word, and I'm not piecemealing it. I'm not taking the parts that are uncomfortable because I'm living in this sinful lifestyle. I'm going to let it speak to my life and be honest, because not only is God the one who's the judge, but he's also the one who's our Savior. So let's move on to that Savior piece on a sacrificial heart. And we're going to be looking at Jesus in the moment. The author takes just a brief moment of just hitting different topics in this final exhortation in the closing chapter of Hebrews. And he talks about imitating the Christian leaders who preach the word of God. Not their personalities, but imitate their faith. And I was thinking about this morning, and one of the pastors here, his name is Glenn, has a huge passion to reach out to people with the gospel, whether it's at a barber shop, or maybe it's at a store, or at a gas station, or on the campus, or in the community. And he's really bold with sharing the gospel. A lot more bold than I am. I get timid, to be honest. And so I was thinking about this. I was like, I don't need to look like Glenn, even though sometimes we match our clothes, and that's embarrassing on the weekend services. But like, Lord, I want to have that kind of faith, that trust in you to step out with the love of Jesus with strangers. That's the kind of imitation. Look at how someone's growing in their faith as a Christian leader. And ask, Lord, I want to imitate. So just a little piece there. In verse 8, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, I think I have it up here. It says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. There are so many things that change. These Christian leaders he's talking about, they'll come and go. They'll be around. They'll go away. They'll pass away. Even today, you think in our culture, we have different government officials, different policies. There's relationships, finances, careers, even just sometimes what we're accomplishing. They can change at any moment. But there is one who does not change, and that's Jesus Christ. You can bank on him. The same one that was faithful to Adam and Eve in the Old Testament, to Abraham, to the disciples in the New Testament, saying, I'm coming back and I'm sending the Holy Spirit to work through you. The same one that's got you through this week. I don't know what 2016 looked like for you. Maybe that was really difficult. He's faithful all the way through. Amen? Amen. You can bank on him because he does not change. We want to change to reflect the one that does not change because his character is rock solid. So I want to talk about the sacrifice of Jesus just a little bit more. In the Old Testament, there's this comparison that the author is using of Hebrews to the Levitical practice of sacrifices. In the Old Testament, when someone did something wrong, which the Bible calls sin, against God and others, they would have to make it right, go to the priest, go to the temple, get the right animal, and have a sacrifice. And they would kill the animal in the temple. The blood would be there, and then they would take the bodies outside of the temple, and they'd burn it completely. And so the author is comparing this periodic, once in a while, sacrificial system that's going on and the burning. And then he's showing the transition to Jesus. Jesus who came because God saw us in a situation of being in brokenness, of being stuck in our sin. The Bible says all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And he loved you and me so much that he came down to die on the cross, doing nothing wrong. Nothing wrong. The one who is holy and perfect died for those who are unholy and imperfect. And he was led outside of the city by the religious leaders and the Romans to be crucified for our sins, for your sins. He went willfully. And we're going to be talking about that a little bit in just a moment. But remember, when we look at the Bible, and really you're going to let God inform your lives, we got to be honest about sin. We can't call what's sin good. We can't call what's good sin or bad. We got to be honest. Lord, is there things in my life that they're just not lining up with you? Maybe you kept for a while. God, you died on the cross for my sin. My sinful behavior is not an inconvenience to heaven. It was a crucifying moment for our Lord and Savior, Jesus. I don't think we fully comprehend. I don't fully comprehend the weight of my sin. But when we have an idea of how bad we are without Christ, we have such a great reason to respond in praise when we remember how great a gift Jesus was. He didn't come just to make our life a little bit better. He didn't say you can make it on your own. You're just partially doing it. You're limping along through life. I'm just here to give you a crush. It's literally saying you're dead in your sin and transgressions. But Christ has come to give new life, a spiritual rebirth from the inside out. From that, there's a response. And I want to conclude this time before going to the closing verse in a moment. In verse 15, 16. So we see Jesus' sacrifice. It says, through him, through Christ, that let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Karen Stauffer was preaching last week about praise and just going in a place of praise and worship. And there's so much power when we decide, I'm going to take my eyes, the heart of my soul, my eyes off myself, my problems. I'm going to lock it in on Jesus. I'm going to worship Jesus. And right here it's saying, praising him with both name and also actions. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Maybe you ask the question, how can I please God? Is God pleased with me? Know that if you are receiving his love and walking accordingly, we don't work to try to please God, but because we're loved, we're able to walk it out. But that just brings, I think, like a smile to God's face. I think of God being just a really good father looking down at you and me and just like, oh man, my children are getting it, you know? Jim's not putting confectionery sugar on everything. It's not napalm everywhere he goes. All right, you're learning, Jim. You're learning slow, but you're learning. I just see him as a good father just smiling down. You make mistakes, but I'm here for you. I'm not going to leave you. And because of that, when I get to realize that, when you get to realize that, it's just a sense of just joy and peace and freedom and just worship just fills my soul. So I'm going to take a moment now to bring us back to the opening verse, which is, search me, O God, know my heart. You notice that this is an invitation for God to come and search your heart. This isn't, Lord, let me just figure it out on my own what things in my life are wrong or right. It's really asking God, I may or might not know what's wrong, but would you come and search my heart? Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting. Humility is the only way to really ask this prayer. Pride will say, I got it. I don't need you, God. And humility is like, I don't got it. I do need you, God. But in the humility, there comes a great sense of freedom when we give our brokenness to God, because he can take our brokenness and turn it into something beautiful. So we're going to have a moment now. I'm going to invite the musicians up, and I invited three people to come up to start passing out some pens and paper. We're going to have a response time where I want you to be thinking and inviting the Holy Spirit. If you want to be in a prayerful spot, ask God, Lord, is there something? Maybe there's one thing. Maybe there's a bunch of things. I was doing this last night. I wrote down four things. I didn't even realize that, but God's like, Jim, you got to work on that. This thing you got to stop doing. Give this to me. But if there's some sin issue that you realize, Lord, I want to surrender at the cross. I want to give this to Jesus. I encourage you to write that down. If there's a burden you are carrying, God said, cast your burdens on me. You can do that. You can literally cast your burdens on him. As we're starting 2017, you don't have to bring the junk from 2016 with you. You can give it to Jesus. I heard a quote recently that our past should be a point of reference and not a point of residence. And sometimes we get stuck in our past and we keep thinking this thing that happened or the thing I did that made me such a failure, I can never get by. But if Jesus Christ can break that yeah, that happened, but there's something new that God wants you to walk in today. There's something new that God wants you to embrace in him in 2017. And as a church, if we're being honest, like, Lord, I want to grow individually and collectively towards Jesus. God, I'm sorry for what I did. God, forgive me. God, I confess my sins because you are faithful and just to forgive me of all sins and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. If you come to a place where there's this open and honesty, you can be free. And as the pens and pieces of paper are getting passed around, if you guys want to do that, I have plenty of pieces of scrap paper on the backside of it. It's just random. We're just recycling paper. We have a lot of people here, so we have plenty of paper. The pens might run out towards the back, so I encourage you to share pens as you go along. But take a moment. Invite God. Lord, is there something you want me to write down on this, something you want me to identify? Did you say, you know, Lord, I want to ask for forgiveness. I got this picture when I was just praying this week and thinking, and I got this picture of some of us being really spiritually and emotionally just bogged down. Like if you can imagine someone with a lot of backpacks on, just backpacks on the back, backpacks on the side, and here, so literally like straps are pulling this way, and this way, almost like a chokehold with just the weight. And sometimes we can just go through life with so much weight. We're just struggling to try to make it. We just got to believe that lie that if we just work harder, somehow all these things are going to drop off of us. But all we're realizing is we're sinking and getting more tired. I just had this picture of when we surrender to God. Lord, I can't do it. Can you take this from me? That he's just literally taking one of these backpacks, one of these emotional, spiritual weights, this sin that has so easily entangled you, just off one at a time. So I encourage you, invite God to speak to you. As you're writing down, the musicians are going to play just some instrumental right now. And then in a moment, as you're writing that down, there's going to be a song called I Surrender, talking all about surrender. And as that's going to be played, I'm going to encourage you to do two things. One, write something down. Have a conversation with God. if you got to be honest and like, Lord, I messed up. I need to be honest with you. I need your forgiveness of a sin. Be real. He's real with you. Be real with him. Maybe it's a burden. Lord, help me. I'm overwhelmed. I cannot keep doing this. I want 2017 to be different. Lord, I need your help. I want to follow you. Write that down too. And as you're doing that, we're going to have a song, the I Surrender song played. It's going to be played before I introduce communion. But you can take what you're writing down, and I encourage you, as a symbolic step of just faith, we have a cross right up here. We remember that Jesus Christ was crucified on a cross. You'll notice on here that there's a bunch of pieces of paper. We did this last night at our Saturday night service, and I just invited people, take those pieces of paper, those sins, those burdens, those cares, and during the song, just come on up, just pierce them through these nails right up here and right up here. After the service, I'll be personally shredding all of them, because God says when you give him your burdens, he'll take it. When you give him your sins, he will cast it and remove it as far as the east is from the west. We don't have to keep any record. God keeps no record of sins. So I would encourage you, as the musicians are singing and leading us in the song, coming up and give your worries, your sins, your cares to the Lord.
To Jesus, breathe within. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way in me. Like a burning stone, stir within my soul. Lord, have your way. Lord,
this time I just want to draw our attention to the communion table here at New Hope Community Church. We have communion on a weekly basis, and it's exactly to remember what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross. His body was broken, or pierced for us, I should say, and the blood that was spilt. And we have a communion table up here and in the back, and as we have a time of just responding in praise and worship. And if you're here this morning, you've been able to just lay down stuff, burdens. There's just a lightness that comes, a joy that I'm really excited. I hope that some of you can just enter in and worshiping the Lord. But anyone can partake of the table. You don't have to be from our church. You just ask that you're part of God's family. And I just want to pray to thank the Lord, and then the worship team will lead us back again with musical expression of praise. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for your love. God, I thank you that you look down and you know our hearts. You see where we're broken, but you're filled with great love for each one of us, Lord. And Lord, I just ask, God, I don't even know what's written on here. No one's going to know what's written on this cross except you, Lord. But God, I ask that the things that are laid down here that you could just seal, God, that they don't come back. God, that we would not let them back into our lives. If they're sinful behaviors, God, Lord, we trust you with them right now. Take it for good. God, if they're burdens, God, that are just outweighing us and bringing us down, Lord, carry us, God. You are a strong and ever-present helper, Lord. Help us, God. We need you, Lord. But God, I just ask and declare that 2017 would be different for each one of us, Lord, that we would be growing closer to Jesus. God, I pray for marriages that have been shaky to be strong in Christ. God, I pray for families that have been spread apart and strained to be brought close together in Jesus, God. God, I pray for us as a church, Lord, that we would draw closer together and showing brotherly love to one another, God, that we would be hospitable to strangers, that we would respect and honor marriage, even our sexuality, God. God, money would not be our draw. Lord, you would be the lover of our soul. We would respond with everything we got, Lord. So God, I just pray that you would work in us even more than we ask or imagine. For your glory, in Jesus' name, amen.